Hello, friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Before we take you to your favorite Sports History Network show, just want to tell you a little bit about some merch that you can pick up that represents your favorite SHN podcast. So far, there's t-shirts, coffee mugs, and even books from some of the authors that do podcasts right here on SHN. Who could buy something better than that than have the history right from the gentleman that you hear talking about it? But we also are adding things each and every day. And where's that store, may you ask? Well, it's at SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Up at the top, there is the SHN merch button. Click on that. It'll take you right to the store, and you can be representing your favorite podcast and show the world that, hey, on the swag that I'm using, it's the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear, Sports History Network, and my favorite podcaster, the Sports History Network store. Shop there today.
Bar coming up the middle, free safety.
Welcome back, all my coaches and coordinators, to the Playbook Podcast. My name is Zach. That's my co-host, Jared.
Hello, hello.
And we're here to talk about everything on the field, off the field, everything you need to know about football this crazy weekend.
Well, Zach, talk about a crazy weekend. I mean, we might as well open it up with probably the game of the week. And I'm not talking about App State and Texas A&M like we're going to talk about. I'm talking about Texas and Alabama. Who saw that coming?
No. Everyone expected Texas to lose by 2.5 touchdowns.
There was a 20-plus point spread on there.
Exactly. And Alabama scored 20-plus points.
Look, Texas came to the day looking to beat Alabama. And they, if I know Alabama fans hate the ifs. I get it, because this is twice that you all have done it.
To Texas.
To Texas. Knocking their quarterback out in the beginning of the game. Quinn Ewers was looking immaculate.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he was throwing dimes up. And I'm sitting on my couch watching that game like, Alabama's going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama's going to lose with all the penalties. It was not a Nick Saban team that came to play.
Oh, no. It was very sloppy. Speaking about Quentin Ewers, if he would have hit that deep ball in the end zone,
oh my God,
game would have been over.
Dude, if Texas would have made that field goal,
oh exactly,
the game would have been over. I mean, it literally a 20-19 game, even with a broken backup quarterback, you guys were struggling against Texas. So look, week two does that in college football. Usually, if you have a big game week one, typically there's some regression week two. I just never expected to see that much regression out of a Nick Saban team.
I mean, when you have a Heisman candidate and Will Anderson having four penalties himself.
Oh, my God. Two in one drive.
Oh, my gosh. And then a stupid roughness call when the guy's already on the ground and he just runs in and goes, boop.
I'm telling you, that was one of the most undisciplined Alabama teams I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, I feel bad for them this week.
Oh, they're running. They're still running right now.
They're bear crawling.
Yeah. They have all lost 7 pounds so far this week.
But they gained so much discipline.
Oh, so much discipline.
All the discipline.
How about another one? Everyone thought, since they won week one, that it was going to be an upset this week, even though it wouldn't have been an upset because of where they were ranked, but it would have been an upset because of just where this team is going, and that's the Florida Gators and the Kentucky Wildcats.
Oh my gosh. AR-15, had a great game. The week before?
Yeah, just...
This week?
He couldn't hit anything.
Oh, he couldn't hit the broadside of a bar.
No, he couldn't. You know, the defense looked much better. They only allowed two big plays, one being a run play and one being a pass play. I was very satisfied with the defense, but it was just the offense was underperforming. It was one of them weeks where I wish we would have possibly ran it a little bit more.
Yeah, even with AR-15.
Well,
some options or something.
He looked lost, you know, and you got to understand, is Florida Gator fans, I'm one of them, but they can really suck sometimes.
Oh, dude, they're
the
worst.
And Gator fans, please hit me in the comments with all the nasty comments you have for me. Look, we've got to give a break to our quarterback, to our coach, to our program. Be there to represent them. Be there to support them. Homeboy had a bad game. It was his second start ever. You expected him to come out and win the Heisman week two? Look, I'm very happy of the start that he's had so far. He's young. He's got to learn.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's got a great coaching staff to teach and lead this program. It's just that the Florida Gator fans and boosters have got to give this kid and this coaching staff.
I mean, y'all survived the Greg McElroy and Will Muschamp era. Y'all could do anything.
I tell you, man. I'm excited for where this team's going, but there's going to be rough weeks.
They're not going to be undefeated SC champions going into the playoffs year one.
No. And you know, as tight of a game as that was, it didn't even look that tight. Kentucky looked like they had a firm grip on that game the whole game. You know what I mean? Like, Stoops has done a great job with Kentucky. Kentucky has let that man do his thing. And look at them. They have been performing.
No longer the basketball school.
No, man. They are performing, you know. And I tell you, the team that's looking more and more like a basketball school is Texas A&M.
Oh, my gosh.
How do you pay someone $1.5 million to come to your home?
And beat you.
And beat you.
They ran your pockets, then ran you off the field.
I mean, there's no other Sun Belt schools you can choose. You have to go choose the best one. Like, don't hate on them boys, man. Them mountain people. Them mountain people.
They train in running moonshine.
You know, so I mean, I projected App State to win week one, and they only lost by a touchdown.
Six seconds.
I mean, they threw a 40 burger in the fourth quarter.
Exactly. You shouldn't lose that. Them boys came in and said, we're not doing that again, and took Texas A&M's money, took their pride, and took them out of the playoffs. Because, you know, I don't care if you beat Alabama. Let's be honest. You lost to App State.
Bro, App State might be getting Jimbo Fisher because he ain't going to make it in the SEC much longer with stuff like that.
We spent $1.5 million.
I should have went to LSU. I should have went to LSU.
And we spent $1.5 million for our draft class, and we still lost?
Hey, how about another top 10 team? The Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
You mean the Notre Dame always ranked too high Irish?
That's what happens whenever you're not in a conference. And you get to choose and delegate your games. But you just need to choose and delegate your games wisely.
I mean,
Marshall was not a wise choice.
I mean, if you would have woke up like, oh, we play Marshall, that's not a real barn burner until y'all play Marshall.
I tell you, Marshall ran all over Notre Dame.
God.
I watched that game. They were up on them by like 10 points, and then Notre Dame had to come back in that game. And they ended up coming back and going in the lead. And then Marshall ran it right back down the field and scored. So, well played, Marshall. Well played, Marshall.
We are Marshall.
We are Marshall today. And I tell you, I am with you, Marshall. Great job at beating this school that has no business being in the top 10. Which, they won't even be in the top 25 probably after this week.
They'd be probably 19-20.
With 0-2?
0-2, never mind. I forgot they're 0-2.
Get
I
your
they'd be
ass out of the top 25.
Put App State Marshall top 25 right now.
How about another?
Petitioning.
How about another 20 and ranked lower team beating a top 10 team? Or a top 15 team?
You want me to tell what's funny? BYU was actually favored.
Dude,
to win.
They were, and I see why. I, you know, Baylor is a tough team. I love their coach. I love what he's doing up there, but I honestly didn't see. I mean, I understand obviously that the pros know more than the Joes.
Exactly.
But I didn't see Baylor losing to BYU the way they lost to BYU.
Oh no. But the ghost of Zach Wilson.
Dude, BYU
the Cougar
are
hunters.
Tough.
Cougar hunters,
hey,
baby.
Hey, Zach Wilson sprinkled some love on BYU. The Mormons had it going on last weekend.
God,
I tell you, I got BYU to win this weekend as well. I'm telling you, BYU, they are looking tough as nails, and I'm excited to see what they do next week.
Dude, this week in college football alone was crazy. Now we get to Sunday. Sunday, we
Not
got
even.
The NFL.
You got to go back to Thursday, baby.
Oh, I mean, that wasn't crazy, but we'll reel it back
that was
to Thursday.
Thursday, baby.
Oh, we got to talk about his Bills. Josh Allen.
Hey,
Josh Allen.
How can you not talk about the Bills, bro?
Easily. Just
that was,
don't talk
that,
about them.
That stiff arm.
Oh my God, stiff arm, hump.
Oh my God.
What else is he gonna do?
You know what? He might, if he could stick his tongue out of the face mask, he might look.
Pull Antonio Brown, just take his pads off in the middle of
just
the
game. Just walk off the field.
No, just go to the huddle without no pads. Okay, guys. Hey, Josh, you can't do that. I'm Josh Allen.
And they probably still couldn't take him down. This dude is insane.
Oh, dude.
He's insane.
He's on an MVP caliber season, week one.
Round the corner. Hand to the side of a head and plant it into the ground and then get up with a Joker smile. That is, that's sickening. That's a quarterback.
Let me tell you what's funny. The only two knocks you had on Josh Allen that game was his two interceptions. That was his wide receiver's fault.
And it was. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm excited for Bills football this year, and I've been excited for it for the past few years. But it
makes one of us.
Well, you know, it took 17 years of darkness before we finally hired Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott to start changing our program around. And I tell you, ever since they have taken over, we have been in the playoffs 4 out of 5 years, and I don't see us missing it this year either.
You mean tell what's also consistent in the NFL? Oh, Lord.
Your mic falling off?
Oh, probably. I'll probably do that a couple more recordings. But another thing that's consistent, I mean, we'll span the dawn of time.
Yes.
Is the Falcons choking leads.
Oh, my God. I'm so tired of seeing the Falcons choke.
First, what? It was 28-3?
Dude, they were up on them.
Now 26-10, and it's just like, Marcus Mariota, you're right. You're right away in the stereotype. Fourth quarter comes. What's going on here?
Jameis Winston just showed why he got drafted ahead of you.
Once again.
Didn't he do that at Florida State against Oregon in that championship game? They were down, and he came back?
No, Oregon just beat the dog shit out of him. That's where you have Jameis Winston.
That's right. Yes. That's right. I was so excited about that because I'm a big Florida State hater. So, like,
I don't like Florida State fans.
But no, talking about the epic fail of the Falcons, that was the epic fail.
Oh, and you there's more to come.
You got to stop losing like that. You got players to win. Not many. A few.
Kyle Pitts.
Drake London.
Too soon to tell.
Too soon to tell. I mean, he had some contested catches.
Too soon to tell.
Bears and Niners.
That's another game.
In the Rain Bowl.
Hey, Bears won in the NFC North. The Bears.
No, the Bears do not win the NFC North.
Come on, you seen Justin Fields?
Please do not hit the unsubscribe button because of what just was said.
I'm telling you right now, hot take.
Hot take. Yeah, that is extremely hot.
No, but in all honesty, it was a decent game. Sloppy on both sides. Trey Lance not looking like a starter. Should have, like, I don't know, like, Jimmy G wasn't a bad starter last year.
You know, though, if I'm Shanahan, I will see what Lance does this week. And if nothing changes, I might go Garoppolo week 3. If he does win week 2, I let him start week 3. But I'm saving Jimmy G. So, like, when that second half of the season rolls around and we need to make that playoff push, and if Trey Lance doesn't look like it, you know you got Jimmy J in the back pocket healthy.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, the 49ers are one of them few teams, like, if things fall right, they could be a real playoff contender.
They could. And they got some weapons. Brandon Ayuk.
Deebo Samuel.
Deebo. I mean, you know, I know they just lost Elijah Mitchell for 2 months, you know what I'm saying, which we all kind of saw that at the beginning of the season. But, you know, San Francisco could be that team, just like Green Bay. You know, you lose week 1 and then you make a mad run.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they did it last year, and that was a tricky game, though. I think all of us saw San Francisco winning that, and it just – that's football, man. That's football.
Dude, another game I really want to talk about is an Alabama alumnus himself, Jalen Hurts. Y'all better put some respect on my man's name.
I've been calling this dude for like 2 years. When everybody was knocking on him 2 years ago, I was like, bro, Jalen Hurts the man.
He just had to refine some of his passing.
He had to get confidence.
Yeah, because
he lost that confidence going from Alabama to Oklahoma. He did not look like the same Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma that he looked like at Alabama.
No.
Alabama, he looked dominant until Tua came in and he felt threatened by his job.
No, Tua came and took his job.
But that's what I'm saying. Then he went to Oklahoma. And he didn't look like the Jalen Hurts that was at Alabama. Move forward to the NFL. Year one was suspect. You know what I'm saying? But he had a starter there. Then last year he came in. And he,
took him to the playoffs.
Took him to the playoffs. So, with the addition of A.J. Brown, and if Miles Sanders stays healthy, and Devontae Smith, and you got Dallas Goedert.
God. That is a serious.
That's the NFC East championship right there.
I feel like the Eagles. We called it in episode 2 that we both think the Eagles are going to win the NFC East.
They got to. I mean, with the weapons that they added and the way that they're playing right now, I mean, look, they played the Lions. Lions, respectfully, are always known as the homecoming team, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like it almost feels like a guaranteed win.
The Jaguars.
Yes, if you will. But I mean, dude, the Lions. I'm excited, bro. They lost, but like they did it in Lions fashion. They lost within 5 points.
Now going from one Alabama quarterback to one we just talked about, taking his job. Woo! To a Tagovailoa.
Talk about Alabama quarterbacks. Both.
Both. Mac Jones.
Or Alabama quarterbacks.
Doesn't have an offensive coordinator.
Nope.
You have Pistol Pete calling plays.
Pistol Pete.
And then now you got the Dolphins, who Tua didn't look bad. Like, Dolphins fans were, like, everyone hating on the Dolphins, like, oh, Tua can't throw a ball.
I want more, though. I want to see Tua sling the rock. I want to see Tua throwing consistently. Like, you don't just score 14 points in the second quarter and then throw up three in the second, in the first and the third and nothing in the fourth. If you're going to compete for a playoff position, I want to see you moving the ball and scoring every quarter.
But this is their first year in that offense. New system, new schemes, new players in that offense. So you got to let time for it to grow
and mesh.
Mesh and all that stuff.
Touche.
It wasn't a bad game. Like, you can't knock Tua on that game. He made the right reads.
He did.
He might have had some bad throws, but what quarterback is going to throw a 15-for-15 game?
I mean, technically, they are leading the division right now. They are 1-0.
Yeah, and they are number one in the division.
They are number one in the division. Now let's talk about the last team in the division. The Jets playing the Ravens.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Lamar Jackson's season is here, everyone. This is the season that we see Lamar Jackson do some of the dumbest shit you've ever seen in your life. This is a contract year. And if anyone knows anything, especially fantasy football-wise, if it's a contract year, this is a player that you need to go after. Because this is a year that they have to make their name so big and so bright so they can get a fat-ass paycheck at the end of the year. And Lamar Jackson is betting on his ass so much that he didn't sign a contract. He just took the $23 million, and you know that they're going to franchise his ass next year. I'm telling you, everyone, this is the year. I'm Josh Allen 100% all the way, but this is the year Lamar Jackson, I think, does some crazy shit.
He goes to the second round of the playoffs, then loses.
I could see that. but I see it. If he gets to the second round of the playoffs, cha-ching.
Oh, even if he makes the playoffs.
Cha-ching. But no, stellar game. Jackson threw 3 TDs. You know, we saw some new wide receivers come to the forefront for the Ravens, and Duvernay.
I don't know.
It is such a crazy last name. I don't know where you all find these people and their last names. It is amazing.
But I'm here for it.
But Duvernay killed it.
But it was against the Jets, who are they? Sauce Gardner looked good against Mark Andrews.
Look at Michael Carter, bro. They thought it was going to be a Breece Hall. Michael Carter, man, 10 carries, 60 yards. That ain't bad.
That ain't bad for
a split backfield.
Mm-hmm. Now let's go to a team that no one really likes in the Jets. Jets. To Duval.
Yeah, the Jaguars.
And y'all fans need to quit hating on Trevor Lawrence. Jesus.
Look.
It's his first year in a new offense after going through Urban Meyer.
Trevor Lawrence is just fine. He's got receivers now. He's got a tight end that used to have rocks for hands. He worked him in the offseason, and he molded them. And he can actually catch the fucking football now.
Exactly.
Shit is happening in Jacksonville. And I feel like the only reason shit's really starting to happen is they have implemented the ice cream policy.
I forget they did that.
The ice cream policy. You have got the ice cream king. on your coaching staff. And it is ice cream after every movie. Yes. So watch the ice cream pour all over Jacksonville. And you guys win the division.
With the AFC South, what they look like, Jacksonville has actually a shot to win this thing.
Everyone's 0-1 still.
No.
Wait.
0-1.
Yes. Jacksonville is 0-1.
But they scored the most points. They did score the most points this week.
How many points did Houston score?
20.
How many points did the Colts score?
20.
How many points did Indianapolis score?
20.
And how many points did the Jaguars score?
22.
That is insane. Everyone scores 20 points.
If we were in any of them games,
the Titans, 20 points.
We would have won that game.
Titans, Colts, and Texans, 20 points. That is insane.
King Henry, where are you at?
Dude, Saquon.
Saquon.
Where are you at?
He's in New York.
Where are you at, Saquon? Saquon showed out. Was the number one running back this week. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
He had the most rushing yards, followed up by close Jonathan Taylor with the Colts. But Saquon showed the reason why he was a first-round pick finally again.
Yeah, and Saquon, he toted the rock. He showed he still has hands, and he showed he still has that explosive speed and sideline to sideline movement.
It was beautiful to see him actually catching the ball out of the backfield as well, making his juke cuts, and running people over. The two-point conversion to actually win that game, he destroyed that linebacker.
Oh, he did.
So I don't think the Giants do anything this year because they're rebuilding, but I don't think they're a top-five pick.
I'd say 10, top 10.
But that's what I'm saying, though. I don't see them top five.
I
think they win enough to get out of the top five picks.
I can see them third place in the NFC East.
Let's talk about the NFC North champion this year in the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, my gosh. They faced the withered skeleton of the Packers offense.
I'm telling you, Anthony Lazard killed it yesterday.
I thought it was Allen.
Or Allen Lazard. See, that's how much that's how relevant he is. I don't even know his name.
Yes.
And so that's what I'm saying. That. Like, comment, and subscribe, and leave us some comments below, and let us know some more names that we can
talk
jack
about.
Up.
Anthony, that might have been his brother that played.
He probably would have caught the ball better.
Oh, probably. But Jesus. Speaking about someone who couldn't catch, to Justin Jefferson catching everything in sight, he caught the cure for cancer. Probably
9 catches, 184 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Everyone, that is insane. Like. This new offense that Minnesota is rolling out is just ridiculous with pass after pass after pass after pass. I think they only ran the ball about 25 times. I think it was a little bit closer to 30 because of the end of the game stuff.
Not good for Dalvin Cook and fans.
Dalvin Cook had 20 carries for 90 yards. The only thing that would have set him over the edge fantasy-wise would have been a touchdown. He had a couple. He had, I think it was like six or 8 receptions out of the backfield, and he had 20 touches rushing the ball. I'm excited for what Minnesota is doing.
Minnesota could be a dangerous team out there in the NFC.
Like, hey, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, man. I think the two teams that are 0-4 in Super Bowl history, being the Minnesota Vikings and the Buffalo Bills, could be your Super Bowl this year in Arizona.
Now, speaking about one NFC team that's doing great to another one, not in the same division. But it was your Sunday night football game. The Cowboys.
Wow.
Who them boys.
Wow. You know, I think if we've learned anything is the Cowboys love shitting the bed on primetime.
Oh, and I can't even start. Let's start with the biggest news. Dak Prescott getting injured.
My thumb hurts.
What was it? Dislocation?
Yeah, they wanted to do something like they did with Russell Wilson last year and put a pin in it, but I think I can't remember if they said they're going to avoid that, but they're not putting him on the IR. They're actually going to keep him off the IR and hope to get him back within like 6 weeks.
So you have Dak Prescott who's re-injured himself. Dallas really doesn't have an offense. They have Zeke Elliott who's fell off. Tony Pollard who is a great second string running back, but not a good first string.
I tell you though, let Zeke slip a little bit, man. I think this could be the year Tony Pollard potentially like kind of takes that role over because of how expensive Zeke is.
Oh, this last year in Dallas, Zeke has, and then you have CeeDee Lamb who couldn't catch a cold in a snowstorm.
He struggled so bad.
He did.
He struggled so. I don't know if Tampa's defense is that great. Or if Dallas's receivers are just that bad right now.
I think it's Dallas's receivers that bad.
CeeDee Lamb should not be that bad. He did not look like the CeeDee Lamb that they drafted.
And I should owe $5,000 in debt. Look where we're at now.
But and he was like a first-round pick in fantasy football. In a 12-man league, he's a first, high, second-round pick because of where he is.
And it's just crazy. But a crazier story that we have coming out of the NFC, which saved the NFC West from being the worst division, was Geno Smith time.
Geno!
Russell Wilson.
2008 first round pick.
Broncos, let's ride. Yeah, ride your ass to the losing column, please.
Hey, you're gonna ride your ass home with tears in your face. Look, I'm telling you, Geno Smith was like a first round draft. I don't know if you all remember this. You might not even been born yet because that's how long ago it feels like. Geno Smith was a first round draft pick out of West Virginia. Yeah, you remember that where he went to college? Yeah, West Virginia.
Because he was like, what, 6 in Heisman
voting? Oh, man, he was big that year. Drafted by the Jets, which we all know does a great job with quarterbacks.
Oh, very much
you
so.
You know? Sorry, everyone that gets drafted by the Jets. But, ended up making his way to Seattle for like the past 7 seasons as a backup. Loving life.
Oh, he's getting paid.
Russell Wilson leaves, and the backup could not win over the starting job. Geno looked like the Geno I think we all wanted him to look like.
Oh, yeah. He looked like he was in West Virginia.
Dude, he looked comfortable.
God, and it's just...
Like, did you see the dip dodge out of that blitz to just... A soft toss over the top to the tight end for like that 40-yard touchdown.
Now, the question is the Broncos defense that bad?
I don't think they're that bad. I think we all need to just chalk this up as week one bullshit.
I can concur with that.
Typically week one, you're going to see the crazy wins that shouldn't happen. You're going to see the players that shouldn't be doing stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think this upcoming week in week two with the Chargers and the Chiefs kicking off on Thursday, I think we're going to actually start seeing like our regular guys starting to get the touches like they should have.
Mm-hmm.
Like your Devontae Smith that didn't have no touches this past week. He'll get his touches this week.
Don't freak out just yet if you're a fan.
No. Like it's week one, guys.
But I'm prepared for week three in college football and week two in NFL, dude.
Dude, week three is already setting up to be a great college football weekend. Have you seen the games?
No, I haven't. I haven't looked at it yet.
So, let's start off with Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
With Florida State at Louisville.
Florida State, I'm not sold on yet, but they did. They are undefeated.
Yeah. I like – this is Mike Norvell's – make it or break it season. You know, he's got to win right now. He's got to win. I think at the most he can lose is one game.
Yeah.
And it better be to Florida State or Miami.
Or do they play Clemson?
I'm sorry. Clemson or Miami. Thank you for correcting me. Florida State can't play themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
If they could, they would lose.
But no, they could tie.
They could tie. But I see Florida State winning this game in Louisville. Louisville just does. I know they beat UCF last week, but that looked like a UCF win that they just gave up on. But I see Florida State with this win, and we also have Georgia and South Carolina this weekend.
No, trap game. I don't see it as a trap game. Spencer Rattler, overrated per usual. And Georgia, I feel like they're in that Alabama mentality, mm-hmm. like everyone is a challenger.
No, I agree. Kirby Smart has got his men like in line to fight.
Yes.
They're ready for any battle that comes their way. I gotta give that man some credit where credit's due. As much as I hate talking about him and Nick Saban, both them dudes have got their shit and their programs together.
Oh, exactly.
Like they go in to fight together. How about Nebraska?
lips.
They are not frosty anymore.
I don't care about
Nebraska. Did you hear that, though?
Yeah.
That was like the news this week, though.
Yeah, no,
like
they should have fired Scott Frost.
Well, no, I agree with you on that notion.
That's what happens when little boys try to come up to big boy football talking about winning the national championship.
And to think, all them Gator fans wanted him so bad for a little bit. That would have made a bunch of sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but...
BYU Oregon.
You get to see if Oregon is for real.
I think BYU takes it by 2 touchdowns.
I'll take 3 on that action.
Really?
I'll take 3 on that action.
3 on that action. Do we have any more big games this week?
I don't think so. I think this is a lot of cupcake filled as well.
Oh, it's that second round of week games.
Yeah, a lot of tune-ups.
Yeah, the only thing I really see here is like... Yeah, it's all week games this week. You got... True test, everyone. True test. And here it is. Texas A&M has to play Miami.
I don't want to hear about Texas A&M anymore being a true test. Look, they're part of the cupcakes.
I'm telling you right now, they're playing at Texas A&M again. Miami's coming to town. I got Miami by 7.
Just because I'm from Florida.
I got Miami by 7. I can't do it. I cannot bring myself to do that motion because it makes me feel cold inside.
It should. It should.
But I think that those games right there will be pretty exciting to watch this weekend for our Friday and Saturday slate.
Yeah, and NFL looks pretty saucy too.
Oh, saucy is not the word for it, bro. We're talking like week 2 games here. Buffalo and Tennessee on Monday night, which I think Buffalo should beat them, but...
You got L.A. Kansas City Thursday.
I like Kansas City.
So, there's 2 sides of me on this. The one who would like to pick the game, which I think Kansas City, but I like Austin Ekeler in this too.
I get it for a fantasy perspective because you have him on your squad. I just... As much as I want Mahomes to lose... He doesn't lose. Last year was a fluke for the first beginning of, like, 6 weeks of the season.
He got Indianapolis at Jacksonville.
That's going to be a good one. I think Jacksonville could pull that upset again. They always beat him in Jacksonville.
I need it in my life.
I like the running backs you guys have.
I do too.
Chicago at Green Bay. It's sad. Sad that we're looking at that game as a competitive game.
Sad to say this. I got Chicago about 3.
In Green Bay?
Who's on Green Bay?
Wow.
Sad to say that Chicago has a better wide receiving core than Green Bay.
All right. Last game. Last pick before we close this bad boy up. Minnesota at Philadelphia. Another Monday night game.
My heart and my mind's telling me 2 different things.
I know. It's so tough because the lineups are so close.
But I feel like it's Jalen Hurts season.
Yeah.
Philadelphia by 10.
I don't think it's going to be 10. I think Philly will pull the win off, but I think it'll be a higher scoring game. I think they both put up over 28 points. I think their defenses are good enough to hold under 28 points, but with how powerful their offenses are, I think it could be like a 35-31 game.
I said what I said.
And I'm going Philly.
38-28.
Really?
I said what I said, and I'm keeping to it.
Well, as long as Minnesota, as long as 14 of those 28 points come from Dalvin Cook, I will be happy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have. I would like a special thanks to the Sports History Network for having us. You'll catch us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, soon to be Facebook. We're plugging in all over the world.
We are everywhere. We are coming for your living room.
And Jared hit him with it one time.
Everyone, please, once again, keep your playbooks close beside you so on our next episode you can pop them bad boys out, open your playbooks, and go over the spread with us. This is all we have for you tonight. You all have a wonderful evening, and we'll see you next time.
Have a nice night.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
With every race, every qualifying run, and every pit stop, Tim Coffeen would feel the pressure and excitement. With his own podcast on the Sports History Network called Tim Coffeen Talks IndyCar and Racing History, Tim will share those very same racing emotions and memories with his listeners. Learn, laugh, and enjoy the world of IndyCar racing through the eyes of Tim Coffeen.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.